Proverbs chapter 3, we've been looking to deal with these the book of Proverbs and these the 31 chapters that are therein. A lot of good content there. What we're finding out in these chapters, these early on chapters, is that in Ecclesiastes, Solomon refers to himself as the preacher. And it's taken him, he's given good things and good instruction, but we find in this that he's repeating himself a lot. Well, the reason for that is we need it repeated a lot, okay? And he's warming up and going to get there and is given good things, but there is a lot of it that is repetitious. Here in this chapter, I wanted to point out a few of the verses here that really seem to stand out to me. And in chapter 3, verses that we've talked about last Wednesday, here, number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We need the wisdom and understanding and instruction from the Lord. And with all that is within us, we need to trust in the Lord. That next verse is very, stood out to me in my life. And the Lord has stirred me with this passage. In verse number 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So if you've got a thing that you're planning to do, a thing that you're planning to pursue, no matter how small, how great that it is, acknowledge the Lord in it. Know that the Lord is there. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As Saul asked there on the road to Damascus. That needs to be our cry and request to the Lord. And then we pointed out here in verse number 11, and this is quoted in Hebrews, and we referred to that last time. My son, verse number 11 of Proverbs 3, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. That's a promise. If he loves you, if you say you love the Lord, by implication of that, you're saying that he loves you. He will correct you. And that's just the way that it is. Because even though we're saved, and the Lord's people, the Lord's sons, the Lord's children, we are not perfect. This old flesh and this old mind's not saved. We will sin against our Lord. Ignorantly, willfully, we will sin against the Lord. And 1 John tells us and makes it very clear that we, the children of God, we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can go to the Lord and ask him to forgive us. He's promised he'll not only forgive us, but he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we repent, and that repentance is confession before the Lord and turning from that, and I mentioned last time that all of us have got things that plague us. So there's something in our lives. For you, it's one thing. For me, it's another. For another person, it's another thing. There's things that trouble us and that we war with. And I tell you what, for the child of God, there better be a warfare. There better be the old man and the new man quarreling with each other about what should be pursued, what should be believed, and such. And so the Lord will correct his children. And it goes on to say and gives an example, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And so if we're right to our children, and even as Proverbs bears out, if we love our children, we will correct them. We will chastise them, chasten them, because we want them to go the right way. We want them to follow the Lord. In verse number 25, another passage here that has blessed my heart and has helped me. In verse number 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't be fearful about things. It said, I heard somebody recently say it, if you added up all the times that I was afraid about being afraid, it pales in comparison to what I really have been afraid about. Let us not be afraid about being afraid, okay? We're in the hands of the Lord. We need to rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord. If we believe in an almighty sovereign God that's in control of all things, we can rest. We don't need to be frivolous. We have a responsibility, but we can rest. If we can't rest, then we need to do some soul searching with the Lord and find out why. In 2 Timothy 1, we pointed out and looked at the scripture, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love and the spirit of a sound mind, not an uptight mind. You know what? I may need you one day to remind me of that, okay? But it's the truth, okay? It's the truth, and we need to rest in the Lord. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, and neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, when there be that which folks have pursued, and it comes to them, and it destroys them. Don't be afraid of that, because we're in the hand of the Lord, okay? In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. But as we're going to see in tonight's look-see at the Scripture here in Proverbs, we that are saved, and understand this, we that are saved, been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, have Him as our Savior, and know of a surety that He died for us on Calvary, was buried and rose again. He visited us and has saved our souls and quickened us, made us alive, putting His Spirit within, given unto us everlasting life. We are not the wicked. We're not the wicked. Now, do we sin? We do. But we're justified. We're the just. Get all proud and boastful? No. If we boast in anything, let us boast in the Lord who's made us so. But we're not the wicked. And we need to live like we're not the wicked. Behave like we're not the wicked. And know that when we do go back and delve into wickedness, our Father will come and take us out to the woodshed, right? He will. Does your Lord chastise you? Or are you devoid of chastisement? And again, that whole range of chastisement runs from the still small voice and rebuke of the Lord. Jim, you know you shouldn't have done that. Jim, you didn't obey me. All the way to death. That's the range. And there's all kinds of things in between. As one saint, and it I think has even been preached here, maybe one of the former pastors said, the Lord will touch us with He'll touch our health and our wealth and our family. He can touch us in any of those three ways. Touch us, touch our stuff, touch our family, touch our friends. And so we need to understand and know that. In verse number 31, we left off last time, and it says here, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. And of course, this is a violent man, a cruel one that causes damage. There's going to be some more that's going to be said about this in this chapter and the chapter to come. Don't envy the oppressor and his ways. Don't envy what the oppressor that brings hardness and cruelty and destruction to the innocent. Don't envy that. Don't envy the money that the drug dealer makes by selling that death that they do. Don't envy the ability that the barkeep and the pole dancing establishment person that owns that and the wealth and influence that they have because of that. Don't envy that, because that way is leading to death. It's leading to destruction. It is vanity, and it is hated by God. Why? Because it's wickedness. Indeed, it is. Don't envy that. Don't understand where it comes from and know that it's not the blessing of the Lord. And verse number 32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. This word froward is talking about to be perverse. You know, that I don't want to be stuck on that pole dancing thing, but they had the gall to put in the newspaper some months ago that the women would be fully clothed. Listen, a woman wearing a bikini is not fully clothed. That's nakedness. That's nakedness before God. It is. It is. And the thing is, what's sad is we become so desensitized. We're not sensitive as a people. We're not sensitive as a nation. We're not sensitive to what the Lord said is nakedness. And so we look on that and maybe even scoff or laugh. May God help us. The nakedness is bad. That's the reason that because of sin, Adam and Eve, when they were there by themselves in the garden, being husband and wife, God clothed them for the establishment of covering up nakedness publicly. They were still husband and wife, and they could enjoy the things that God had provided in that intimacy of being a husband and wife, but the Lord established that nakedness publicly should be covered up. And it will lead to nothing. Well, a terrible thing for it to be in Logan County that one of the professions that our daughters can pursue is being a pole dancer, a male entertainment professional. Isn't that sick? It's sick. May God help us to pray and to seek what the froward. That which is perverse, and that's what that is, it's abomination to the Lord. What is this about something being an abomination or abominable? It speaks about idolatry. It's something that is disgusting morally. And that's what it is before God. Being froward, being perverse, being not just disobedient, but looking, I think there's an element there of going out and with perverseness, with sin. And the scripture, these scriptures speak about this, going out and causing others to sin along with you. See that to draw others in. It's one thing to sin ourselves, and that doesn't make it, you know, lighter or nicer or better sin. Sin is sin. Disobedience against God is sin, and it's wickedness. But then when we draw others into it, it makes it even worse. It's perverse. The froward is abomination to the Lord. Listen to this. But His secret is with the righteous. You know what that word secret is talking about? It's talking about being in company with, intimacy, being assembled with, counsel with, to be near. The Lord's secret is with the righteous. Isn't it good to know the Lord? And you know what? And he came and found me and caused me to know about Him. When I thought the world had a better way, when I thought I had a better way, He came and showed me that He has a better way. And that way begins in His Son. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to know the manifold Son, to be able to have insight to the manifold wisdom of God? It's not our doing, but it's what God's done for us through His Word. He showed us salvation through His Son. He's shown us the church. I look up here at the building. He's shown us the church. isn't that weird how that happens? The Lord's churches are made of His people. Amen. He's shown us that. He's shown us the importance of that. He's shown us the blessing of that. That we here at Olmsted Baptist Church, as we have been joined together and covenanted together, the Lord's added us here. You know, our account, our situation, our pursuits, our trial, our heartache, our blessings, our work comes up before the God of heaven. and one church is not on the list higher than any other church. We're loved as by the Lord and desired by the Lord equally with any of His other churches. Amen? Isn't that great? We're not like third string. There's no such thing as third string with the Lord. By those churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, would you say the Lord loved one of them more than another? He spoke to them all to their need, didn't He? Some were more obedient than others, but He didn't give up on the disobedient, did He? He sought that they correct themselves. And so may the Lord help us to understand His secret is with the righteous. The curse, verse number 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And we see that. Since I've been here as pastor, we've gone and we've taken food to folks and looked to help out folks that have been burned out and done different things. And that's just the blessing of the Lord upon us. That's what it is. It's not a high-minded good thing that we've done. It's what the Lord's done through us. We've been able to be used of Him. But you go into those houses, and there's not a home there because things are just mayhem and chaos. And you know, that's what we'll have if we pursue after sin. That's what we'll have if we seek to do things not the Lord's way, but the other way. We'll have mayhem and chaos. We'll have hardness and hatred and envy and nastiness. There won't be the love of the Lord there. This word curse, it's from a word that I don't use, execration. You know what execration means? It means to bitterly curse. The bitter curse is in the house of the wicked. Because there's no blessing of the Lord in pursuing and going against His way. It's terrible. We've heard of it. And these are just examples, and I don't want to pick on any particular thing, but you got a father that drinks up all the income on booze and leaves the wife to fend for the family and the children there with nothing to wear or little to wear and always a mess. The mother that won't take care of her children, and they're always dirty and nasty, and or maybe are given help and don't even have wisdom and understanding to be able to take those clothes and wash them and use them again, but they're wore one time and pitched out the door. It's upside down. There's people by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, living that way. Are helped maybe and never take help that are given them to go ahead and be benefited by it, but just live on a low ebb and a low plane. Just don't have any sense about what to do or how to do it or how even to use soap. We should not look down. We should pity folks in that situation. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But you know what here? But He blesseth the habitation of the just. Isn't that interesting how the wording is different? There's the house. That's the structure. That's what I get from it. But He blesseth the habitation of the justified. And again, it's not what we've done for ourselves, but the Lord having saved us. He's made us His own. He's justified us. And we will yield and we'll submit to following His way in our lives and in our homes. We won't have chaos. We won't have envy and hardness and hatred and no wisdom and no understanding. If we'll yield to what the Lord says and take that to us and apply it, we'll have a blessing, a habitation, a house where the love of God is, where the way of the Lord is, where the blessing of God is. He honors His word. He's good that way. He means what He says. And there's a blessing in believing Him and following Him in it. You know, we can say we believe a thing. We can say we believe a thing. But you know, if we don't do it, we don't really believe it. What we do, what you and I do, is what we believe. Talk is cheap, but what we do is what we believe. And may the Lord help us in that. The Scripture goes on to say here in verse 34, I've got an error here in my notes that I need to correct. In verse number 34, surely He scorneth the scorners. The Lord's going to give, you know, like in the parable there of the servant that took the pound, took the talent, and buried it in the earth. He says, I will judge you out of your own mouth. He said to those that said that He was casting out demons by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub, He says, your own sons will speak against you. Because He says, I think of the indication there, if I so many times cast out demons, so many times the Lord, I think the Lord is indicating, then how is it that your sons do so few times? See, if the Lord's able to cast out demons many, many times, and without fail, even the one that was difficult and impossible for His disciples, right? But then their sons had cast out a few demons. He says, they'll be your judges. I think this is the same thing. The Lord is going to scorn the scorners. You want your way? You want your wicked, sinful way? You want to live with a cloak of righteousness that is your own? You want to live with just words of your mouth that claim me? Remember those in Matthew chapter 7? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Is prophesying good? Well, if it's the Word of God, it is. Have we not cast out many devils? Right? Have we not done many wonderful works? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Because all their plea was I. Not what the Lord had done for them. It's like the Lord would show up at the judgment, just in a general sense, and the Lord says, what are you doing here? And as the children of God, we say, Lord, you know. You know. You're the one that's brought me here. What? Yeah, are you going to get the airplane ticket to go to the judgment seat of Christ? We're going to be taken there. we're not going to find out which bus route stops off at the judgment seat of Christ, are we? Right? We're not going to get in a car or a plane or a ship or something and go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be taken there by the Lord who loves us, who wants us near Him. He scorneth the scorners, and He will do so. But you know what? He giveth grace. As we saw in verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor. Well, what's that all about? That's the same word there, grace, favor. Grace in verse 34, favor in verse number 4. Verse number 1, my son, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. Down there in the middle of you. Down there in who you are. Believe the Lord. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. He says in verse number 34, but the Lord giveth favor to the lowly. Submission and repentance, I believe, are the two universal things that men need to do before God. Because if we'll repent and we'll submit, we receive the Lord as He says He is and the way things are. Not, but maybe, if, no, we say, Lord, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong. And what you say is the plummet line of truth. Not what men say. Not what we think. Not what we take the Word of God and take it and rest against it and twist it. But that we believe the Lord. Believe Him. In James chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord says to we that are saved, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's the principle. Be a servant. Be an obedient child. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? You know, the Lord chided the children of Israel. Maybe one day we'll preach about it, and the Lord will bless with a message about it. But He chided them because you did not serve me with joy. We need to serve the Lord with joy. And we have hardship and we have heartache, but you know what? The Lord never changes. The Lord is always there. The Lord, He gives us what we need. The Lord can do and work in the impossible. May we believe Him. May we believe Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Not false humility that we put on when we're in one another's presence. Not humility that we put on maybe with some and not with others. As we were talking, the situation was about this week where I was talking to somebody about You know, we need to be one person all the time. I need to be Jim Duke with everybody I'm around. One person. Not one person at home, another person at church, and another person at work. I need to be who the Lord wants me to be and what the Lord instructs me to be everywhere I go and in front of everybody that I'm in front of. And then when it's just me and the Lord, I need to be that person. Are you a multiple of people? Would the folks that you're around, would your family say you're one way and folks you work with say another and other folks that your neighbors say another? Or you're one person? The Lord sees it when we're hypocritical. The Lord sees it when we're not honest. The Lord sees it. He tells us, Scriptures tell us that we don't need to lie. And I tell you what, we find it very easy to lie. We do. It's naturally in us to lie. We don't need to lie. The Lord giveth grace to the lowly. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6 there in 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's all that goes together. You know, the Peter asked, and we mentioned it and looked into it a couple Sundays ago, Lord, what shall we have? We've forsaken all. No doubt in his mind, James and John had in their mind what they wanted, right? On a throne, you know, sitting on the right hand, the left hand of the Son, right? They had in mind what they wanted. No doubt maybe Peter had something in mind too, huh? What shall we have? Lord, we have forsaken all. Not like the rich young ruler who had much but many possessions and went away sorrowful when the Lord said, sell it all, and the one thing that you lack, come follow me, the Lord said. And then the man said, no, can't go there. I hope he was saved later on. But then the Lord said, he told them about the blessings. But then he said, you all are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You reckon Peter had that one pegged? You reckon that one was higher than what he thought? I think so. So we don't have to worry about what the Lord's going to do for us, because remember, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love His appearing. Have I got that right? We can't imagine the good blessing. You know what you and I need to do? We just need to be faithful. Just need to be faithful. Faithful with what the Lord's given us, with what He's put down in front of us. He'll exalt us in due time, casting all your care upon Him. He cares for us. And then lastly, the verse number 35 of chapter 3. I tell you what, this was, again, the Proverbs, pithy maxims. We're going to end up using those words before it's over with. I've never used those words in my life. But well-placed, well-developed crafted words that, man, they just hit right home. Listen to this last verse. Verse number 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame, disgrace, confusion, reproach shall be the promotion of fools. What's the definition of a fool? The fool has said in his heart, no God. Don't want God's way, don't want God's truth, don't want God's salvation. I'm going to live my life for me. And the Lord says, you live your life for yourself, you will lose it. Lose it. How's that going to be? You know, we have great promises. I mentioned over there in Matthew 7 where the Lord said He professes to them that claim these great things that they have done that He never knew them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, it says here in verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory. We that are saved, we've been blessed with the wisdom of the Lord. The great wisdom that God made a way that we who were estranged from Him could have forgiveness of our sins and be granted everlasting life and be declared just as if we never sinned because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the wisdom of God applied to us. That's the mystery of how the Lord, He made a way, and there was only one way. God had to come down and die for His people because there was no man that could die. And the Lord, the Son, became a man so He could be a sacrifice suitable for His people. And why would He do that? We wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have done it for one another, would we? No. But the Lord did. And by that wisdom, we will inherit glory. We're going to be glorified one day, aren't we? We will be. But shame, confusion, enigma, it's going to be the promotion. Well, really, it's going to be the demotion, isn't it, of fools. There in Revelation chapter 20, it says in verses 12 through 15, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." So everything that the wicked ever did is all going to be rehearsed right there that day. Everything that was secret, everything wicked that was written in letters or emails or Facebook, everything that was ever pursued, every mischief ever contrived, everything that was that their feet ever took them to do, is all going to be manifested at that time. And you know what? The Word of God is going to stand there. The books are going to say, guilty. With no answer for it. No covering for it. No salvation from it. Appear at this judgment and it's too late. It's too late. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And there's no escape. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Because in John chapter 5, the Lord says, when the Lord calls the dead up, they're going to hear. And they're going to come. No escape. Just like we that are saved, when the Lord called, He gave us grace to hear, didn't He? And just like it is in the proclaiming of salvation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sheep do hear the Lord's voice. Amen. And then the Lord jumped from that to those resurrections. And those that are the Lord's will hear Him when He shouts, won't we? And then when He calls up for the resurrection of damnation, all the rest will hear then too, won't they? That's right. There's no escape. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works, because that's all they have. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Eternal death and damnation forever. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In Proverbs chapter 4, we see here Solomon once again. He's making the same in pleading to his children. And as I encourage you in our consideration of chapter 3, as a father, he mentions this, as a father speaking to his children, our Heavenly Father speaking to us. He says here in this introduction, if you will, to the chapter, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." We've seen about this in chapter 1. This instruction, the reproof, the verbal chastisement, if you will, the correction, the instilling of discipline. He says, hear this instruction of a father. Attend to know this understanding that chapters 1 and 2 and 3, it's all been mentioned in there, this knowledge, this application of knowledge, this wisdom, the discretion, the timing, all those words fit together. Attend to know it. And he tells here in verse number 2, "For I give you good doctrine." And the world is afraid of and hates doctrine today, doesn't it? But you know what? We need to be taught. Well, what do you know that you weren't taught? Huh? Did you and I just... Did you just learn how to do math one day? No. No, we were taught by somebody that knew how to do math. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have ever had stood a chance of getting my multiplication tables right. I had to be taught by somebody else that knew. We've all been taught, haven't we? We all have received instruction. There is indeed nothing new under the sun. And we have been taught. We need to hear and receive instruction. I mentioned last time about you young folks that have been given the opportunity to learn and provided an education by your parents. Seize a hold of that. That's a blessing from God upon you. Don't ignore that. Don't devalue that. Don't do like I did and waste that free, that education that to you has been provided at no cost. Don't blow that away. Otherwise, you'll be ignorant. You'll be found foolish. You'll certainly be found unwise. It's easy to learn when you're young. Let me tell you, it gets harder to learn when you get older. I can't remember some of what I did learn, and it's harder to learn new stuff. We need to keep on learning. Don't ever think that you get to a point that you don't need to learn. He says, I give you good doctrine, good instruction. Receive it. Take it. Churches, and it's a humorous thing that we refer to, churches that say, well, we don't believe in doctrine down at our church. You know what that's code for? We're just a bunch of ignoramuses down at our church. I mean, you know. But why? Because with no doctrine, there's no teaching. There's no advancement of the soul and the heart and the mind to understand what the truth is. And so what? They remain ignorant. And ignorance isn't bad unless you've had the opportunity to get past it. If there's been opportunity to alleviate you and myself of ignorance, we've had the opportunity, and then we've not pursued it, or we've not received it, then we're found guilty. And indeed, that is foolish. Foolish indeed. We need doctrine, and we need the Lord's doctrine. Solomon says, the preacher says, as I referred to in Ecclesiastes, he calls himself, I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Don't turn it away. And verse number 3, this is one that I would highlight in this chapter. Because I know what you're going through. I was in your shoes once. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And you know how he knew it? Because they corrected him. They sought for him to not be an ignoramus. They sought for him to gain in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He says, I know how you feel. I know what it is to grow up. And parents, we need to remember how it was to grow up. We do. There's a thing that happens with many, and I guess it's a function of our culture somehow, that for some reason we want to hide the tough things that we went through in growing up from our children, and somehow that'll make them better. No, that's the most foolish thing we can do. We need to never glorify our mistakes, but we do need to let them know that we are human too, and we did grow up too. And we did make errors. We did sin. We need to never glorify that, but we need to remind them, and we need to remember that how it was when to be young. I was my father's son. I was loved by my parents like I love you, and that's the reason I'm talking to you, son. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care what you did. I'd just let you run amok. But I do love you. And I am going to chasten you. And I am going to instruct you. And I am going to expect you to hear it and listen and receive it. I know what it's like to be young. I know what it's like to be tempted. I do. I know what it's like to fail. Here are my errors and my sins. Don't follow after these, but follow the Lord. I want my children to be more obedient than I was. Don't you? I do. I do. But putting on a facade that we're super parents or superhuman, we need to confess our faults before them. When the timing is right, share things with them about our lives, and then in that warn them about the truth and tell them the truth. And warn them about what following after the wicked way and the lusts of youth will do. Here's my errors and my sins. Don't follow after these, but follow after the Lord. I know what heartache this path will bring. We try to teach our children, never be critical about people. That's what we look on at their lives, look on at their decisions. And the things that, and the heartache that they bring for them, pray for them. Ask the Lord to help them. And don't be critical of them, but learn. Learn. Because if you follow after that, the same heartache is coming to you. You can't follow after a wicked path, a wrong path. It will bring heartache. You can't avoid it. There's nothing different about you that makes you to where you can fly that way and bypass the heartache and the problems and the repercussions. Hear ye children the instruction of the Father. Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. I know what it's like to be young. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, verse 4, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I desire for my children, we should desire for our children, that they have life in the Lord and that they have it more abundantly. Right? Don't you want that for them? It's only going to be found in Christ. But the thing is the truth of God's Word, we still need to teach it to them that they may know how to obey the Lord. Do we want our children to be rebels, even though they're not saved? No. We need to instruct them in the right, good way. It'll be a blessing for them. It'll cause them to live, at least in this life. I needed the same when I was your age, the same thing that you need now. May the Lord help us in this. We'll pick it up here in chapter 4, verse number 5 next time. May the Lord help us to hear this instruction and from the Lord, and I tell you what, it's good.